You're listening to Popstar Conversations, taking you inside with your favorite musical artists.
This week, we'll be sitting here with Brad Arnold from Three Doors Down. Brad, welcome to the show.
It's good to have you here. So, Brad, you're not living in, God, I don't even know if I'm saying it right, Escatapa? You're not living there anymore, are you?
Not Escatapa anymore. I love Nashville, though, man. Nashville's a cool place. It's really inspiring as a musician. It's inspiring as a musician because there's such good artists there. There's always music going on. And logistically, it's really a lot easier to tour out of Tennessee because, you know, being from South Mississippi, it's so far down. You know, it's so far down on the edge of the country. Even that was about...
Isn't that close to Jackson, Mississippi?
Yeah. And to get all the way down to Mississippi, you hardly ever get a day off to where you can actually go home, you know what I mean? And living in Nashville, if you're in Ohio and you got like 2 days off, you can stop through home for a minute, you know, and it's a cool place to live. I like it. I just wish that the only thing that sucks about it is that my family lives in South Mississippi, so I'm 8 hours away from them, you know, and so I don't get to see my family as much as I'd like to. But
Brad, in the beginning, was Three Doors Down, did you guys use the music like as an escape, a way, you know, to get out of town, to get out of the city?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think 11 years later? Is it difficult for you to still travel, or is it a necessary evil? Do you guys just still really enjoy it?
The only thing that sucks about touring for me after 11 years is just the actually leaving home. When I leave home and I hug and kiss my wife goodbye, it's hard, you know? And I don't think the adventure ever goes away because, you always get a chance to, even if you're going to maybe the same city that you've been to, you're going under different circumstances at a different time. You know, maybe you didn't have a day off last time or something, and you get a chance to look at it this time. And it never loses the adventure for me because I always just try to kind of find a way to keep it new.
Yeah. If you look at your career so far, you know, you've recorded 5 albums, sold more than 16 million records. You're selling out the biggest venues around the world. You guys are really low-key, normal guys. You keep a low media profile. You keep out of the press. There's always one or two songs, let me say catchy songs on the air that you guys seem to get a lot of flack for that.
I think that us being normal guys and just singing songs about life, people want to hear songs about life and people want to hear songs that they can relate to themselves, you know? And I think that people have just always kind of have identified with our songs, you know, because they can make them their own. And as far as the success goes of why we have been so successful for so many years, is there's one reason, and that's God. And God has blessed us, and he's kept us here, and he's kept us all safe, and he's kept us along the right way of life, you know. And I thank God every day for what we get to do.
So is that why you had Jesus tattooed on your back?
Yep. You know, I wanted a tattoo that I'd never be ashamed of, and I'll never be ashamed of Jesus. And you know, I don't live a perfect life by any means, but no one does, you know, and we're not expected to. But I give credit where credit's due, and God has blessed us with so much.
Well, Three Doors Down, do you think they'll ever have a ballad-free album? I mean, for example, maybe like experimenting with electronics.
Never experiment with electronics, not too much. You know, but there's a couple little spots on this record that has a couple different little kind of weird little things on it, but only for effect, you know. And as far as the album full of ballads, not unless it was just meant to be, you know. We like to mix it up, and this record, in having read some interviews, you've probably heard me say it before, but this record really does kind of take you on a ride, you know. It starts out heavy, and it's got its slow songs, and it's got its fast songs, but it's up and down, and up, down, and up and down, and it's really a record that I think that you can put in, and you can listen to the whole thing, you know. And that's what we've always tried to do, is make records, not just songs, you know. And I really encourage people to buy this whole album and to listen to the whole thing, and it's cool like that.
But it is pretty safe to say that the power ballads that Three Doors Down's known for has gotten you a lot of radio airplay and is really responsible for your commercial success.
Yeah, it is. It is, man. And you know, it's hard to get airplay tracks out right now that apply the way that you want them to apply, because music is so diversified now. I mean, you know, if you look back in the day, you had like three genres of music. You know, you had like gospel, rock, country, and, you know, blues or something. And now there's four different categories of rock and roll, you know, and you get to listen to them. You're like, excuse me, where does this fit in? You know, it's just, and I don't know, it's so diverse now, and there's so many artists out there that you just really kind of have to pick your place to be. And it's strange.
Brad, I'm curious. Are you still writing the lyrics to the songs while you're sitting at the drum kit?
You know, I do still. I wrote about probably half the lyrics to this record behind the drum kit and about half not behind the drum kit.
Since, you know, you're not the drummer for the band anymore, does writing at the drum kit, is that a place of security for you?
You know, I don't know. It's. I guess it's more of a trigger than anything. You know, somebody sits down with a guitar and writes and or something. You know, and I don't play guitar at all. But the drums for me is almost like my guitar. I can sit there and just start, and I don't even have to be behind a drum kit. I can sit here in this chair and start, you know, playing a beat, and before long, I'll have some lyrics to go along with it. It kind of just triggers it in my head to come up with something. And that's the hardest part, is to get started writing a song. You know, once you come up with a topic and something you want to write about, it's pretty easy to write.
So I guess you're the Phil Collins of Three Doors Down.
You know what? I don't think I'm as good as Phil Collins, but I guess I did kind of used to be a little bit of the Phil Collins.
Would you ever consider doing a side project as a drummer again?
I'd love to. I was talking about that the other day, man. I would love. I was standing there. We were about to go on stage, and sometimes, you know, I still get nervous, and it's strange because it's the older songs that you've sang 1,000 times that you get nervous about sometimes. I don't know why, you just do. And there's a lot of times that I was telling Gary the other day. I said, man, I wish I could just be the drummer, stand back there and just sit back there and play the drums and have fun. You know, and so, yeah, I could definitely do a side project as a drummer, but nobody would want me as a drummer because I'm not that good.
This album was finished in October 2010. Why was the release date pushed back?
The record company wanted to push the record back just to really, to make sure that we really grabbed hold by the time that the record comes out, you know, because people now, you know, they move on so quickly with the internet. Information moves so fast, and, you know, and so you really want to have it out there and really have all your things going for you just like you want them by the time you put a record out. And by April, we just really didn't feel like we would have had everything that we needed for the record to be successful, so we pushed it back. And it's a long wait, man. It's you know, having, like you say, having finished the record in October and having to wait till July to put it out, the whole time you're just sitting there and it's like you're sitting on your hands, you know, and it just the wait is killing me.
I'm sure you guys were really impatient. What were you looking for in this album? Did you find a lot of growth within it?
Yeah. This record just grew. You know, every time you go in the studio, you learn more. And, you know, the first time we went in, we were so naive and just kind of like, I'm sure we looked like a deer in headlights, you know, just kind of so surprised and didn't know what we were doing. But, you know, every time you go in, you learn more of what's going on and what you need to do and how to do it. And this record, especially working with Howard Benson, he was such a great producer, and he pushed us further than we've ever been pushed, and encouraged us just to try new things and just do the best that we could. And I really feel like we did the best that we could on this record. And in the past, maybe sometimes we weren't as confident as we should have been in ourselves in a recording aspect. And this time we went in with all the confidence, and we knew that we had the best producer and we were going to make the best product that we possibly could. And I think keeping that mindset really, really kind of held on and affected the way the record turned out.
You had a change in producers from Johnny Kay to Howard Benson. Do you think that that took it to another level?
Yeah, in a way, yeah. And Johnny Kay is a great producer, and I love him. He's a great guy, you know. But Howard is a great producer also, you know, and you know, we try to change it up. We've used Johnny twice, but he's the only one we've ever used twice, you know, and always wanted to get something a little bit different. But I think Howard's our guy, you know. I think we'll probably make our next 3 records with him. You know, he's a good guy that just, he's got a great theory on music and how to approach it and how to achieve things, and it was a lot of fun to work with him.
Truly, it sounds like you're having the time of your life.
This is the time of my life, most definitely. I think there's always room for growth, and there's always room for something more. But you know, at the same time, you have to have contentment in your life as well, and you have to be satisfied with the things you have and thankful for the things that you have. And I am definitely thankful for all the things that I have. And right now, I am having the time of my life.
There's a song in this record, "When You're Young." What was the inspiration for that song? Like, at the age that you're at now, is it you looking back at your youth, or is it this, you know, the other way around? Is it this young boy looking forward?
When you're young, it's a little bit of looking back, and it's a little bit of looking forward. It's really, to me, it's kind of an example of, to a young person, of someone who's, you know, I'm not an old man, but I'm not a teenager anymore, you know, but I can remember back on being young. Excuse me. I can remember back on being young and how hard it was. You're facing everything for the first time, and all these challenges come up, and nothing seems bigger than what's right in front of you, you know. And I guess in a way, I wrote those lyrics to that song to basically just say to a young person, hey, look, somebody understands. You know, I understand that it's hard to be young, you know, and the chorus of that song, you know, it's just, you know, you give what you give because they make you, and you're trapped in a place that won't take you, and they want you to be what they make you, and it's already over and done when you're young. You know, it's almost like your life's already, somebody's already got it scripted out for you. They want you to do everything that they want you to do the way that they want you to do it, you know, when you're young, because you people don't give you credibility for you know, realizing your own actions and put up to you the responsibility of being responsible for your own actions a lot of times, you know, and it's just, it's hard to be young. And I just really, more so than anything with that song, more than it want it to be a hit or anything, I really didn't care about it being a hit, and I still don't. I care that I know that there's people out there, and there's young people out there that need to hear that song. And you know, you get on YouTube and stuff in the States and read down through the comments on it, and it's really satisfying when you read a comment that somebody will write that says, you know, this song says exactly what I'm feeling. I couldn't put it into words what I was feeling, and this song was saying it, you know. And there's nothing better than that, you know.
And the song "Believer," was that a first-hand experience?
No, "Believer" is not a first-hand experience, thankfully. But "Believer" came about because Chris brought me several guitar licks over to the house and just left them, and just kind of, and I listened to that one, and it took me about 3 or 4 days to just even wrap my head around it. I was like, what in the hell is going on in this guitar riff? And the more I got to listening to it, it was such a fun guitar part. I was like, man, I have to write something to this. Just have to. And that song, you know, it's just a, you know, it's about a dude that a lady calls him up for, like, kind of a booty call, you know, basically. And he goes over, and she's all talking dirty to him and whatnot. But then her husband comes on, and he didn't know about any of that. And, you know, so it's kind of about being caught in the tight spot. But it's just really meant to be a fun song. And it's a fun song to play live. People really enjoy it live. And it goes over good. But no, thank God it's not a first-hand experience.
And it's probably one of the heaviest songs that you've ever written, or one of the punkiest songs.
A Believer is definitely probably the punkiest song we've ever done. I guess the only song that even comes close to it as far as kind of being that style of song is Smack off our first record. But even still, it's not like Believer. In right in the middle of it in our live show, we bust into a little Judas Priest breaking the law thing, and it's pretty fun. It's awesome.
The themes of your songs are always about relationships, love, home, family. Are these the things that are important to you?
Well, those are the things I identify with, you know, like love and home and family. They're just the things that keep me who I am, and that I believe people really want to hear about. And I think that they're the most relevant topics in anyone's life, or, you know, or they should be, you know, in my opinion anyway, you know. And those things fill up a lot of my life, so I guess that's why I tend to write about them most.
Brad, can you tell us a bit about the Better Life Foundation and your involvement, and also who will be performing this year?
Not really sure who's playing the Better Life Foundation with us this year, but we'll be finding out pretty soon. That we're starting work on it right now, and you know, it pretty much, the work for next year starts as soon as one ends, you know, and it's so much that goes into it, and we're just the catalyst for it, and our, you know, it's all about our fans, you know. They're the ones that donate all the money, and Gary and Peggy, his wife, and Mark Smith, they're the ones that put in all the hard work for it, you know. We show up and play and do our little thing, and we seem to get all the credit for it. And we really don't deserve the credit for it. They work their butts off on it all year long to put it together, and our fans, you know, all the contributions they make it possible. You know, I think this is our 7th or 8th year going in. I want to say that we're going into our 8th year. I might be wrong. It might be our 7th. But over those past years, we've raised like $3 million for different charities in our area, and the foundation. It's a dollar in, dollar out. We have one person on a payroll of it. That's the only money that comes out of it, you know, and that person doesn't get paid very much, you know, and it's just the brightest spot in our career, and I'm so proud to just be a part of that foundation.
Yeah, you're doing such good work with the foundation. Good luck with that and the new record. Thank you for being
Brad,
here with us.
Thank you very much. Thank you again for listening to Popstar Conversations. Be sure to click the subscribe button below and hit the red bell so that you'll be notified of our next exclusive interview. Thank you again for listening.
Thank you for listening to Popstar Conversations. Please join us again for another conversation with your favorite musical artists.